day wherever you may be around the world, and thank you for your company. It is time for another Spiritual Baby Speed Study on Truth to You. That's truth, number 2, letter U.org. G'day, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
G'day, Jono. Good evening, Jono.
Spiritualbabies.net. Okay, just to let everyone know, it's the middle of the night. No, it's 1 in the morning. What is it over there?
Yeah, it's just after 1 in the morning, so it's hard to know whether it's very early or very late.
Yeah, Mr. Spiritual Babies is a robot, and he doesn't sleep.
No.
Just tell everyone, what's the latest things, what's the latest goings on your website, spiritualbabies.net?
Oh, yeah, okay. So I've recently revamped the site, so come and have a look. And I've been feeling kind of artistic lately, so I've started making little free-to-use puzzles and drawings and colouring in stuff for parents to use with their kids to educate them on the Tanakh for homeschooling. So people can go along there and download some stuff and use it. It's all free.
Turn your babies into spiritual babies.
Absolutely.
Spiritual babies colouring in and puzzles and things like that. They're really good, actually. That's good stuff. I know that a lot of people are going to enjoy them, particularly those that like to educate their children. They're responsible for their children's education, as it says in Deuteronomy, teach it to your children.
Right. So we are looking at today something that we've discussed a couple of times over the last couple of months, and it seems to be popping up, and it's coffee.
What?
I'm just coffee.
We're doing coffee? I've been looking at the wrong thing.
Let me quickly
have a look and see where coffee pops up.
It pops up all the time. There's a ton of stuff that pops up in the Bible.
That blows everyone. My mind.
Unicorns. Unicorns are in the Bible. There's a lot of stuff that is in the Bible that is really, like the other day, I was talking to somebody about Moses, and I said the verse that says a prophet greater than Moses. And we had a big long discussion about it. And then I looked it up. It was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while to look it up. I'm going to be honest.
Had to check what you used a search engine that said prophet greater than Moses? Or
yeah, I typed that in to Google.
Well, it should have just spat it up. Didn't it just spit it up for you?
Well, you know, I found a lot of sites that talk about the verse, but I couldn't find anywhere that actually would give me the verse.
Ah, okay. And why is that?
It's because it's not there. So I thought.
Now this is what we want. Wait a minute, hang on. Bring me back to coffee. I don't understand the coffee. Just tell everyone what's going on with coffee.
Well, everyone assumes that coffee is made from coffee beans.
But that's what. Of course, coffee's made from coffee beans. I buy coffee beans from the shop. I bring them back. I grind them. I put it in the little majiggy, and it makes coffee. What are you telling me?
No, you're buying coffee seeds that are given a label that doesn't accurately reflect what they are.
You're kidding.
So, yeah, not coffee beans at all.
You're telling me that they're not coffee beans, they're not beans, they're coffee seeds.
Absolutely.
You're saying that I've been lied to all this time and that we perpetuate this lie and we say that it's coffee beans.
You've been drinking those lies.
How about that, folks? I would love to know how many people knew that we actually make coffee from coffee seeds, not coffee beans. There you go. I didn't know that. So mm-hmm. You're saying this is a similar thing. There's this notion. Now, we've encountered this a number of times over the last few months, mm-hmm. and we thought we're going to have to do a program on this because there is this notion of the prophet greater than Moses. And we think, well, hang on. What does it say in the Tanakh about that? What does it say in the Bible? And where does this come from? And this is what we want to look at, right?
Right. I think it's important. You know, you have to start at the beginning of your story. You can't start at the end of the story and then try and, you know, make things fit the conclusion. You need to start at the beginning, and then you can, if the conclusion fits at the end, all good.
That's it. Well, I'm going to set a little bit of background, if I may. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
All right, a prophet greater than Moses, folks. Get your Bibles. Luke 24, verse 44 to 46. Luke wrote Acts. Is that right?
You might have done. We don't even know who wrote Luke, but we'll keep going.
What? I thought that. Wait a minute. Is this another coffee bean? Luke wrote Luke, and he wrote Acts. That's why it's called Luke.
Yes, clearly he wrote Luke. It's right at the end there. I can see it now, as written by Luke.
No.
I think you'll find on the first page of Luke, there'll be a little thing written there by the guy that edited your Bible that's going to tell you about tradition and all these other things, and that Luke is just a name associated with the text, but at no point during the text is the author revealed.
So I don't have coffee beans and I don't have Luke. Is that what you're telling me?
Afraid not.
This is just blowing my mind. So we don't know if Luke wrote Luke or if Luke wrote if he's the same writer as Axe. Let people do their own homework on that. But in any case, if it was Luke, I'm going to call him Luke. He writes, Jesus is saying, in these verses, Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, guys, it's like I told you. All these things, you know, they have to be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he goes on to say, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead. And moreover, the writer of Luke and the writer of Acts, in the book of Acts, it goes even further with his claim when it is recorded of Peter saying, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. And so the question becomes, Mr. Spiritual Babies, where does all the prophets, and depending on how you qualify or define a prophet, there's somewhere between 50 and 70 of them in recorded in the Tanakh. Therefore, there must be equally as many cross-references. Where does all the prophets specify that the Messiah must suffer and die, and on the third day rise from the dead? Now, with such a claim, Mr. Spiritual Babies, one would expect any reputable cross-referencing New Testament to jump at the opportunity to reveal these many, numerous passages. Give me just a few.
You know what? I wasn't even there, so let's just refer to Peter.
Peter comes to the rescue, but I had a look in my, I don't know how many cross-reference, no, I do know how many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, okay, 6, and none of them had any cross-references for that, and I was really disappointed. I thought this is an opportunity missed, because if all the prophets have spoken of this, then you would have thought they would have jumped at the opportunity to list them all down, do a little chart, like often in my Nelson's New King James Study Bible, that they have charts sometimes when they have something impressive to highlight. Surely this would have been something impressive to highlight. Now, if listeners know where these cross-references are, all the prophets, even just the previous verse in Luke, the one I started with, just the cross-reference in the Torah, a cross-reference in the prophets, and a cross-reference in the Psalms, even if there's just three cross-references, one to each of those, that says that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, love to know where they are. Now, please, people, I don't want to hear about hints. I'm sick and tired of hints. I don't want hints, because this is very specific. It says, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. It's very specific. And then in Acts, all the prophets, that the Christ should suffer. So we don't want hints. Don't tell me about hints. What we want is specific quotes from all the prophets, or at least from the Torah, the prophets, and the Psalms. Moving on, so the question becomes, where is that? Now, Luke, as you pointed out, in Acts 3:22, just a few verses on, Peter comes to the rescue with a quote from the Tanakh. What does he say there?
Actually, I'm just wondering, when Jesus said that to Peter in the first place, what was Peter's response?
Didn't Peter say, surely not?
Yeah, I mean, Peter must have said, I haven't looked it up, but Peter must have said, you're absolutely right, how could I have been such an idiot? They tell me that every Sunday when I get, when I go to church. But no, because Peter says, surely not. Now, if that was common knowledge at the time, Peter would never have said, surely not, right?
Well, to be fair, I did skip a verse, and that is Luke 24:45. Now, 45 says that Jesus then opened their mind. It's kind of a little bit like a Jedi mind trick. He opened their mind and revealed it so they could understand these scriptures. And then I assume that a light went on and all the scriptures that they were blinded to, that mysteriously disappeared in the Tanakh, all of a sudden they went bing, and there they all were. But unfortunately, I will raise my hand and say that Jesus has not opened my mind to the scriptures, because I can't see those verses. But and I don't mind doing that, because every time I ask people about these supposed verses, all I get is hints. Now, maybe someone can show me where the specifics are, but maybe Peter just knew his Tanakh a little bit better. I don't know, because when Jesus put this to him, Peter said, surely not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Don't know. So we'll wait to hear from listeners on that. Okay, so moving on, we just had to set the stage. But Acts 3:22, Peter said this.
Okay. Moses said, Jehovah, your God, will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must listen to him in everything he will say to you, and everyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people.
Okay, so the writer of Acts concretes this even more, according to Stephen citing the same passage in reference to Jesus in Acts 7:37. So what is the passage that they're citing?
We are looking at Deuteronomy 18:15.
What does it say?
It says, Jehovah your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear.
Okay, so it's not... Now, in this verse, it doesn't say a prophet greater than you, like greater than Moses. It says a prophet like Moses, right?
Right.
Okay. So you may have also noticed, dear listeners, that this has nothing to do with the claim that the Messiah will suffer and die and be raised on the third day. That class is still out to lunch, but we have now jumped from Jesus is the Christ to Jesus is the prophet. And that's two different things, and it's interesting. If you go to John 1:19-21, John 1:19-21, it says that the Jews sent priests to ask John the Baptist the following questions. They asked, who are you? And John said, well, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not the Christ. And they said, all right, so what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, no, I'm not. And that's interesting because Jesus in Matthew 11:14 said, if you're willing to accept it, if you can accept it, John the Baptist is Elijah. And so the priest went to John the Baptist and they said, are you Elijah? And he said, no, I can't accept that. And so they said, well, are you the prophet? And he said, no. So it's interesting to note that there are three separate qualifications, two of which Luke, or the writer of Luke and Acts, claims for Jesus. And yet, now, Mr. Spiritual Babies, it also needs to be mentioned because it gets a little confusing, gets a little convoluted. Luke 7:28, Jesus claims that among those born of women, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. And, of course, Jesus himself was born of a woman, so it's very, very confusing. But in Mark 9:11-13, it goes on to say, and they asked him, saying, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? They're asking Jesus. And then he answered and told them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written. Now, there's another place that not only is it saying in Luke here that Jesus asserts that the Christ must suffer, or the Son of Man must suffer many things and be treated with contempt, but not only that, but, and it's written concerning the Son of Man, but not only that, but concerning Elijah, they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him. I'd love to see a cross-reference for that too, dear listener. If you can find it, please leave it in the comments. So is, Mr. Spiritual Babies, is Jesus the prophet? We only have to look at a couple of his prophecies to evaluate his qualifications. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. Also worth noting here that if you're looking for an alibi, John the Baptist is not the guy to go to.
No.
But he said, no, I'm not listening. That's not me.
I'm not the prophet either. But according to the writer of Luke and Acts, Jesus is both the prophet and the Messiah. So he's two rolled into one here. According to Jesus, John is Elijah. And according to John, he's none of those three. Anyway, look, okay, so John 13:38 and Luke 22:34-61, Jesus prophesies to Peter, most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Right? Shall not crow till you deny me three times. Yet in Mark 14:66-68, Peter denies Jesus only once and the rooster crowed. Now that's could be seen as a prophecy that didn't quite work out. But to be fair, Mark 14:40, it has a different prophecy. It's worded in a different way and it's distinctly a different prophecy altogether. So it's just a similar prophecy written in a different way. And that needs to be taken into account. Matthew 12:40, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, not only is this a prophecy of Jesus, Yeshua, made this prophecy, but according to the previous verses, Mr. Spiritual Babies, it was also to be a sign, distinctly a sign and a prophecy, yet it doesn't add up. Although Christian tradition has Jesus dying on a Friday afternoon, even if we place the crucifixion on a Thursday, it still equates to three nights and 2 days, with even the men on the road to Emmaus confirming that the day of Sunday was the third day. You just can't get around that. And that's Luke 24, verse 21. Is there any? That's the two I could think of. Can you think of any other prophecies that Jesus gave?
Actually, oddly enough, something came up today. Luke 9:27. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "I tell you the truth, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God."
Ah, that's true. What's the reference for that again?
Luke 9:27.
Luke 9:27. Do you know who they are? They're the Highlanders.
Are they?
They're the Highlanders.
There can be only one.
There can be only 12.
There can be only 12.
They keep their identity secret, and they're still here today. Now, any reasonable person would realize that that didn't quite work out, unless they are the Highlanders. I never really thought about that. What can we say then about Deuteronomy 18:15? Well, now I want to go to the study notes on this one, because I thought, to be fair, the Christian Bible study notes, I think, dealt with this in a reasonable way. So first I'm going to have a look at the study notes in the NIV study Bible. Prophet like me, verse 16, as well as the general context, especially verses 20 to 22, indicates that a series of prophets is meant. At Mount Horeb, the people requested that Moses take the message from God and deliver it to them. But now that Moses is to leave them, he says that another spokesman will take his place, and then another will be necessary for the next generation. This is therefore a collective reference to the prophets who will follow. So this is also the study note in the Jewish Study Bible, Oxford Jewish Study Bible, and it says on verse 15, "A prophet, while grammatically singular, is distributive in its meaning. Quote, I will repeatedly raise up for you a prophet," end quote. More than one prophet is clearly intended.
I was going to say, it's worth mentioning as well that the word Nabi for prophet comes up 316 times in the Hebrew scriptures, and they're split nearly down the middle between a plural and singular use. So it's the same word, and it can be plural, right, and it can be singular.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. So there it is. And so so the Christian translations seem to agree anyhow that this is prophet plural. It's prophet kind, if you like, in 18:15, Deuteronomy 18:15. So where, Mr. Spiritual Babies, do the Christians get this notion of a prophet greater than Moses? Greater than Moses? Because I heard that for the majority of my Christian life in the tradition that I grew up in. I know that you are familiar with that. We've heard it a number of times over the last few months. Where does it come from if it doesn't say it in the text? Then now I'm in my New King James Nelson Study Bible, and I have to go to, get this, this is really slippery. I have to go to Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 to 12, and this is what it says. It says, "But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses," we're still like Moses, "since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom Yehovah knew face to face." Now, if I go down to the study note on that verse, get this, you ready? Hold on to your socks. It says, "As important as Joshua was, he should not be confused with the one," capital O, "who would fulfill God's promise of a prophet who would have an even greater status than Moses." And guess what reference they put there? 18:15.
Oh, really?
Deuteronomy 18:15. I'm not kidding. Let me read it again so that people understand. This is what it says. They basically made a study note for 18:15 and they slipped it in here at 34, verse 10 to 12. It says, again, I'll read it again, "A prophet like Moses, as important as Joshua was, he should not be confused with the one," capital O, "who would fulfill God's promise of a prophet who would have an even greater status than Moses," see Deuteronomy 18:15. Oh my goodness, how slippery is that? Because we've just looked at 18:15. It does not say an even greater status than Moses.
It's an infinite loop.
It's an infinite loop. You go round and round and round. And how can they do that? Because it says, "Since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses." Ever since Moses, that's it. He is the top of the crop as far as prophets are concerned. That's what it says. There is no prophet greater than Moses, according to Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. And yet that's why they felt the need to slip in the study note there and reference back to 18:15 in the hope that no one actually goes back there and checks it out for themselves. Coffee bean.
Coffee bean.
Goodness.
That's going to be a thing from now on.
Is there anywhere that suggests that Jesus is greater than Moses? Surely somewhere in the New Testament it does that, Mr. Spiritual Babies, give it to us.
I figure it's Hebrews 3.
Oh, lo and behold, it's in the book of Hebrews. Who would have thought?
It's a never-ending wealth of shows. I mean, we could just do all of our stuff on Hebrews.
We've returned back to Hebrews. Now, it is Hebrews chapter 3, but Hebrews chapter 1, just to give it a little bit of background, and we did a program on this. It was called The Forgotten Begotten, if I remember correctly, and you put a little link there?
Yep, bing. Up now.
Yeah. Okay. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers, this is chapter 1, verse 1, by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now, what do you have in chapter 3?
Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partners in a heavenly calling, take note of Jesus, the apostle, and the high priest, whom
so
we confess.
So we've got the Son, the apostle, the high priest, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who is faithful to the one who appointed him, as Moses was also in God's house. For he has come to deserve greater glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house deserves greater honor than the house itself. I hope you're keeping up with who's the house and who is the builder. Okay. For every house is built by someone, and the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that would be spoken, but Christ is faithful as a son.
Okay, so if I boil that down, what it's saying is that Jesus is worthy of more glory and worthy of more honor because he is a son rather than Moses, who was a servant.
I think that's what it says.
That's basically what it says, and that kind of, I suppose, that gets it from Abraham. Abraham says, you know, I don't have a son, maybe I should give my inheritance to Eliezer, my servant, my good servant. Jehovah says to him, no, don't be doing that. You will have a son, and he will be your heir. Maybe mm-hmm. that's where he's borrowing from, but the interesting thing about this is that, two things, actually. One, there's no mention of Jesus being the prophet greater than Moses. It says because he is a son, because he's a high priest, and because he is, an apostle.
Yeah, an apostle, yeah.
And the Messiah, actually, the Christ Jesus. So we've got apostle, high priest, Christ, and son. He is, that's why he's worthy of more glory and more honor. It doesn't mention him being a prophet. But you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Exodus chapter 4, verse 22.
You shall say to Pharaoh, thus says Jehovah, Israel is my son, my firstborn.
Israel is my son and my firstborn. Moses is the greatest prophet of Israel, the firstborn of Jehovah. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right, so the question is, Mr. Spiritual Babies, a prophet greater than Moses? Is there such a thing?
Well, let's refer back to the last few passages of Deuteronomy 34 from 10. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom Jehovah knew face to face. In all the signs and wonders which Jehovah sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all the lands, and by all that mighty power, and all that great terror which Moses performed in the sight of Israel.
Surely the answer is no, you agree?
The answer has to be no.
Just like the Highlander, there can be only one.
That was straight.
And it was Moses. I'm glad we figured that out. Glad we got there in the end. There it is, dear listener. There it is. And once again, Deuteronomy 34, verse 10 to 12, there is no prophet greater than Moses. Moses is the man. I'd love to hear comments from the listeners. Please leave comments under the video or on truth2you.org in the comments section. You can certainly do that. Thank you, Mr. Spiritual Babies. Spiritualbabies.net is the website. Truth2you.org, truth2you.org. Thank you, my friend. And until next time, dear listeners, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.